Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all minds, all hearts, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Revolutionary life.
I'm your host, Gary. Revolutionary Life is right here on Blog Talk Radio every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. From 7 p.m. to 9, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time, guys. Welcome to everyone who's listening in. Revolutionary Life is going to talk to you every weekday night about things that affect your life every day, directly and indirectly. Difference is, we're going to talk about those things from a revolutionary point of view. How about that? Revolution is just change, sweetheart. It's just change. And change is the one thing that's constant on this earth. The revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of change. That's the difference. The reactionary wants to hold back change. That's the difference. And there's a lot of things need changing, guys. And so before we can make change, of course, we need a little bit of clarity about certain things that are unclear, it seems. One of the things, and things that we're going to discuss tonight on Revolutionary Life, is critical race theory. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's in the news nowadays. Politicians are talking about it. It's a study called critical race theory. It's an academic exercise called critical race theory. It's not taught in elementary schools and it's not being proposed to be done so. It's not taught in high school and it's not being proposed to be done so. It seems that it's only taught in colleges, universities, and right now, as far as I can tell, the main disciplines that teach critical race theory are law schools. That's it. If you can find somewhere else where they're teaching critical race theory as part of the curricula, I haven't found it yet. But I found out that law students are the only ones that I know that so far that I can find that take a class called critical race theory. Like school kids. And I don't think anybody's proposing that. I haven't heard that yet. But having said that, tonight, guys, let's talk a little bit about what is this? Critical race theory, and why is it necessary? And why are people against it being taught? Interesting. Tonight we're going to work that out. We're going to take a revolutionary look at race, at racism, and critical race theory. I hope you're ready, because this is a call-in show. Oh, yeah. About halfway through this show, I set whole half of this show almost aside, specifically for you. It's a call-in show. I'll be giving out that call-in number, and I'll be opening up my chat. I will announce the call-in time. So if you're listening when I announce the call-in time, you will get that number, and it should be on our site, really. If you're on this site, you should see this phone number. And we'll have our chat room open. And we'll be monitoring that chat. And so if you have questions or comments, you can put them in the chat and we'll respond directly in the chat. All right. The shows that we do are all archived, guys. And so they'll be on demand. So if you can't stick with this show to the end, then don't worry. And about an hour after this show, it will be on demand also. And if you're on our site, you just scroll down, you'll see the on-demand section. And so you don't have to miss a lick if you don't have the time. But if you got the time, we got the subject. And tonight that subject is critical race theory, or race in general, racism in general, and the like. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this. I want you to prepare yourself to listen or participate. Like I said, it's a call-in show, and I will announce that call-in section as soon as I get through presenting the topic, and we'll hear what you have to say. All right, guys. And so prepare yourself for critical race theory and the concept of discussing this issue of race in schools or anywhere else. And I'll be right back. I'll give you a little music. Think about what you need to think about. Prepare yourself. Because we're going to work this thing out tonight. If you got the time, we got the clarity. I'll be right back. Here's some music. Listening to Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. I'm your host tonight. And tonight, our topic is critical race theory. Now, I've listened to a couple of people speak on this in the news, on YouTube, and other places. So I thought I'd speak on it with you guys tonight from a revolutionary point of view, of course. This is revolutionary life, baby. So we have to look at it from a revolutionary point of view. Race theory. Let's go back. Before we do race theory, before we talk about this theory of race, and before we critique race theory, critical race theory, where we critique race theory, I want you to understand, I want you to see if you can understand racism. All right? I know some people have experienced racism. I have, for sure. But I was raised in the South. All right? My parents was raised in the South. My grandparents was raised in the South. We were raised in slave states and Jim Crow states and segregated states. I don't know where you were raised, but I got a good taste of racism in dangerous amounts, by the way. And my mother did, and my grandmother did, and all that. So I'm kind of a... I got some bona fide. I got some bona fide. I got some bona fide on racism, given that I've been there, done that, and got the dirty t-shirt. And so, guys, but I want to do better than my experience, because my experience is young, a young experience versus the history of racism, related to the history of racism. My entire family's experience with race is nothing new for them. It wasn't anything new. It worked, is why it was used. I did a presentation, guys, and I told you all my shows are on our archive, so you can go back and check it out. I did a presentation where I talked about my education in public school. And I told you that in public school, when they taught me world history, which was primarily Western European history, but that wasn't racist, just to teach me the history of the Western European, because that is actually connected to the history of the United States of America. It is populated by, it was populated mostly by Western Europeans. All right? It was established as a nation in the signatures of the Constitution, etc., were Western Europeans, Germans, French, English, and the like. And so it's part of American history. Western European history is. And so that's what I was taught in public school. I didn't go to private school. I went to public school. So some of y'all might be able to relate if you went to public school. I was taught world history, but it was European history, great men, great events. That's how they teach history. Not a graduation of different things, but just great men and great events. I had to remember men. I had to remember the names of great men, and I had to remember the dates in which great events happened, and I could pass these tests. I didn't have to really know anything about history. But I learned. And for instance, guys, I gave an example before, and I'll give it again. I would learn about the Greece, ancient Greece. Socrates, Plato, you know what I mean? Ancient Greece. And I learned about a man in ancient Greece, in ancient times, called Alexander. Alexander the Great, he was called. I'm pretty sure he was part of the Ptolemaic family, the Ptolemies. I do believe. But he was called Alexander the Great. And I asked, why do we call him Alexander the Great? And they said that he called him Alexander the Great because he was known as the person who helped conquer, because he conquered the known world of the time. That's right. Alexander the Great conquered the known world at the time. I didn't know what conquering means. All I know is this guy was great because he conquered the known world. I could pass tests knowing that sentence. When I understood what conquering was, I realized that what he did on behalf of Greece, and I found out he wasn't Greek, of course, he was Macedonian, and the Greeks didn't fight their own army. You know, you've seen the 500, or what is it called? Yeah, the 500. The story about the Greek war against the Persians, that whole movie that came out. Forget the full name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. The Greeks hired people from Spartacus, the Spartans folks, and they hired the Macedonians to do their fighting for them. And these mercs was led by one Macedonian named Alexander, mercenaries. And so they went to war on behalf of Greece, even though they weren't Greek. They went to war on behalf of Greece, and they conquered the world by riding their military into other people's countries, people who had no beef with Greece, probably didn't even know Greece existed, and taking over their country on behalf of Greece, planting the Greek flag in another person's country, and telling those people that from now on, you, this land, and all its resources are now the property of Greece. And so, of course, they proceeded to take those resources back to Greece, and it made Greece a great nation. Having taken strong armed robbery, war, for those people who didn't give up easily, the Greek army made war on them, and eventually beating them, taking their land, and taking their people as one of the resources. Now, when they took their people, they enslaved those people. And so Greece, with all of its great thinkers, and philosophers that we study today, the Socrateses and the Platos and whatnot, was a slave society. Somebody else did the work. That's why we could have a Socrates. Slaves did the work of Greece. Slaves built Greece with their hands. Slaves brought their skills, their labor, mental and physical, to Greece. Their technology, their knowledge, all went to Greece to make Greece great. And so Alexander continued to ride around Europe, Asia and Europe, and conquer those countries. Conquer, again, means ride in and take whatever they wanted on behalf of Greece. And if the country did not freely give it up, they made war. And just as sure as those people could not beat the Greek army, they became slaves and property of Greece. That made Greece a great civilization. And so we studied Greece as one of the Europeans' first great civilizations. We hold Greece up as being intelligent, as being bringing us democracy, Euclid, bringing us mass, all kinds of good shit. The Iliad, the Odyssey and the Iliad, Homer, we hold the Greeks up, ancient Greece, as being a great society. Greece was a murderous slave, criminal slave society, built on the death of people all over the known world, and the conquest, and that's what conquest means. I had to find out, what does it mean to conquer somebody or some country? It means you ride in and take it. You rob, it's robbery. It's home invasion. You call it what you wanna, it resulted in there being slaves to take back, because the people were resources too. So in addition to lumber and gold and whatever these people had, it all went to Greece. And so Alexander was called Alexander the Great, because he conquered the known world. Well, Greece was built on slaves. Socrates, Plato, all these guys made excuses for slavery. Sure they did. That's how they made their money. The economic substructure, the economic underpinnings of the great Greek society, i.e. somebody who helps you create value and you share little or none of that value with those people who help you create it. Slavery offers great profit. Because if you can get somebody to help you build, if you can get somebody to help you create value, and then you don't have to compensate them for it, you keep that value for yourself, and you do not compensate them for it, and they do not share in it, you can build great civilizations. Proof. Rome. I had to study Rome in high school. Great civilization, the aqueducts, the great colosseums of Rome. Caesar of Rome, the great Caesars of Rome. What made Rome so great? Well, they conquered the known world of the time, including Greece, by the way. You get what you put out, I guess. The next thing you know, Greeks became Roman slaves, and Greece and all its resources taken from them and sent back to Rome, to Italy, to Rome, to help build the Roman Empire. This was a revolution. This was a renaissance, a renewing, a renaissance, a rebirth, a renaissance of Rome. It was called the Greco-Roman period because the knowledge of Greece, the resources that Greece had amassed, the knowledge of building that Greece amassed, stole, taken. The information, the knowledge, all went to Rome now. And so Rome, from grass huts, became a great civilization during the Greco, you know why they call it that, right? During the Greco-Roman period, because the Roman Renaissance was built on what they stole. Taken, robbed, I'm sorry, conquered, is the word they used in school. Conquered. Rome conquered Greece and the known world. France, Germany, Russia, you name it, the Romans rode through and took care of business, stole, robbed, killed. Conquered the people of these other countries and took their resources back to Rome. And consequently, Rome and Greece went down in our history books here in America and around the world, in the European world, as great Caesar, the great Caesar of Rome. The Roman army was a very powerful army. So when Rome showed up at your front door and said, we are claiming all your property and everything in it on behalf of the Roman Empire, you either bowed down and said, yes, sir, come on in, take what you want, or you fought back. If you could not beat the Roman army, then you became subjects of Rome. France, Spain, England, you know, the Herod's Wall. Herod's Wall was built by the Romans in England. That's how far they got. And so I'm to consider Rome and Caesar a great society. Now, they taught me that in the 20th century. They were teaching kids that back then to look up to Greece, to look up to Rome. Rome was a slave society. The first slaves were the Slavic people. You've heard of Yugoslavia? The first slaves were Slavic, was called the Slavic people. In fact, that's where we get the word slave from. They weren't black people. Their race was not a black race. The Greek slaves were not black people primarily until the Greeks got to Egypt and Africa. The Roman slaves were not primarily black people, even though Rome did take over Egypt from the Greeks. Was a Greek possession by the time Rome came along. Rome took it over from the Greeks, like they took everything else from the Greeks, like they took everything they ever had. They took it by strong arm robbery. And they conquered North Africa, the Romans did. And so you remember Hannibal? The Romans conquered North Africa. And so, as well as most of Western Europe, right? And so Rome and Greece, these great civilizations we're taught about in school and considered to be great historical periods, and we're supposed to look up to these people as great. Caesar of Rome, the aqueducts, the Colosseum, the great artwork of Michelangelo and temples and things. Well, guys, Rome was a slave society too. Their economic substructure, the way their country made their money, was off the backs of slaves. And again, that's cheap labor. And again, that means that you can get filthy rich and you can build great civilizations if you can get a bunch of people to help you create valuable things, help you create value, and you share none of that or very little with those who help you create it. That's how you become billionaires. And so, it was so pervasive, this teaching was so pervasive, guys, because Rome had to justify why it had slaves. It had to justify, Greece had to justify to its people why it was necessary to enslave other human beings. And so they sold the idea of slavery to their people. These are foreigners. These are the bounty of war. We took all their resources. Slaves is one of the resources. And so their society benefited from it. And many of them, whether they liked the idea of enslaving their fellow man, went along with it. Many of these slaves from these other places couldn't speak Greek. And so that made them stand out from the Greek. They couldn't speak Roman, Latin. And so that made them stand out from the Roman Latin. They were foreigners. They were conquered people. And so, of course, they would be enslaved. And everybody agreed, most everybody. Even in Greece, there was opposition to slavery, but you don't hear about that. If you get a moment, read about the Stoics of Greece, the S-T-O-I-C's, got it, S-T-O-I-C, the Stoic philosophers. And you will hear them rail against the slavery of one man, the enslavement of one group of people by another. That didn't stop the Greeks, but there was opposition to this nation. But there was money to be made. And so the opposition was kept quiet. There was money to be made in Rome. And so nobody opposed slaves. They were part of conquering other people. The other people that they conquered were considered barbarians. So it's okay to conquer barbarians. They were considered savages. So it's okay to conquer a savage. And some people even argued that the savages got a chance to learn Latin and Catholicism. And so they were raised up when the Romans came. So the Romans benefit, that was the benefit of being conquered, is you got a good education. You got a chance to see new technologies and all that good shit. But you lost who you were. You lost your own culture. You lost your own language. You lost your own religion when you're conquered. And if the conquered people are running your country, then if you want to come up in a conquered country, you learn to speak the conqueror's language. And if you could speak it as good as a Roman could, you might get a job. If you spoke your tongue, you might get killed. You might not get anything. If you could speak the Roman Latin like the Romans when they came in and conquered your place, you might get a job. But if you couldn't speak the Roman tongue, you were considered ignorant or rebellious. That's right, rebellious. So when the Romans, so you take your time, guys, do some studying. When the Romans ran into Spain, a group of people decided they didn't want to learn to speak Roman Latin. They didn't want to become Catholics under duress. They're called the Basque people of Spain, B-A-S-Q-U-E. They're called the Basque people. Read about it. They exist to this day, and they resisted the Roman conquest of Spain. The rest of them fell for it 100% and became Roman themselves. They thought they were Roman. The Romans never did. The Romans called the Spanish language vulgar Latin. The Romans considered the Spanish to be speaking Latin, yeah, because they had to. But they considered it something called vulgar Latin. And so did the French. And we'll go into that. But the Romans ran a slave society. Their economic substructure was built on the exploitation of labor. That's how you make your money. You get somebody to help you create value, and you share little or none of that value with the people who help you create it. And you get to be a billionaire. You get to be rich. If you can keep that system rolling. And how do you keep it rolling? you build an economic, how do you keep it? If your economic substructure is slavery, then all of your superstructural materials, your schools, your institutions, that's superstructure. That's social superstructure. If the way you make your money, your economic substructure is built on slavery, enslaving people, then the economic superstructure, then the social superstructure of your country, the institutions of your country, the schools, the churches, the religious institutions, the educational institutions, they all are built to promote slavery, if slavery is how you do business. Then the institutions of your country, the government, supports and promotes slavery. To keep, you got to keep it going, and that's how you do it. So the Catholic priests went in to convert everybody that Rome conquered to Catholicism. Most people became Catholic at the tips of Roman swords, not because they looked at Catholicism and said, hey, that's a great idea, let's do that. No, most of these people had religion when Rome showed up. They had a language when Rome showed up. They didn't need Rome to bring them a language. They didn't need Rome to bring them a religion. But when you conquered, baby, when you conquered, you give it up. And some people became Romans. At least they thought they were. They tried to. After a couple of generations, they had forgot their native tongue. And they were speaking the tongue of their conqueror, sometimes better than the Romans. That's how you come up under a conqueror. You learn their language and you accept their religion. To this day, there's Catholics all over Spain. There's Catholics all over France. There's Catholics all over Germany. There's Catholics in this country on the West Coast. And they all got Catholicism the same way. At the tips of Roman swords, they were conquered people. After a few generations of that, some Spanish people thought they were Roman. In fact, guys, listen to me. Do you know what the word czar, a Russian czar, like a king or a queen, a Russian czar, do you know what that word czar means? If it's translated into English, a Russian czar. Czar is another word for Caesar. The Russians were so Roman, they wanted to be Caesars like Rome. So they conquered. Germany, do you know what the translation is for the word Kaiser? Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany. Kaiser this and Kaiser that. Do you know what the word Kaiser means when it's translated, guys? It means Caesar. They thought they were Roman too. And so they did what the Romans did. You see, after a few generations of promoting conquest by murder, and strong arm robbery and slavery and building great civilizations on slaves, it started to spread. The word got around. This is how you do it. And so everybody wanted to be a Caesar. So if you were Russian, you were a czar, a Caesar. If you were German, you were a Kaiser. A Caesar is exactly what it is. They all wanted to be Roman Catholic. After a few generations of being beat down, they forgot who they were before the Romans showed up. And they played the Roman game. And the Romans played the Greek game. Conquest. Take it. Build an army. Take it. And make the people and the resources in that country yours. That's how it's done. That's what they taught me. I had to find out what conquering meant. But that's what they taught me. The Spanish were so sure that they were Romans that they came over to the west. They came across the ocean after Columbus, and they practiced conquest. And the Spanish were called conquistador. In Spanish, conquistador. What is a conquistador, guys? It's a fucking conqueror. And so Mexicans, people who never spoke a Latin language in their lives, people know what Catholicism was. Now, if you go to Central and South America, you find Catholics all over the place. And you find a Latin-based language called Spanish. I'm talking about Mayan people. I'm talking about Inca people. I'm talking about Aztec people. Olmec people. All of a sudden now, they speak Spanish and they're Catholic. Where does that come from? Conquest, baby. When the conquerors come to your town, if you can't stop them, they take over. And if you won't give it up, they take it. And that's what the Spanish did. War, conquest, and enslavement is the tool. It's the process. It's how all Western Europeans, great civilizations, it seems to me, given my public education, it seems that all Western European great civilizations were built on war, conquest, and enslavement. That was acceptable. That was a norm. It was mimicked by Germany. It was mimicked by Russia. It was mimicked by England. It was mimicked by Spain. It was mimicked by France. You know what? They said most people who abuse others are likely to have been abused themselves. So everybody did what the Greeks did, the Romans, and everybody did what the Romans did, even the Arabs, the Persians, conquest and enslavement. War is how they do it. How can generation after generation after generation be taught this in school? And in churches and all the superstructural institutions that support their substructure of slavery. If your economic substructure is slavery, then your superstructure, your institutions of that country will promote that economic substructure. They won't exist. So after you've been programmed and programmed for generations into this way of building civilization, it doesn't bother you. You think you're doing the right thing when you conquer other countries. So it's no surprise that colonialism existed. When they said the sun never set on the British Empire, they meant that everywhere the sun was shining, Great Britain owned some of that because they sent the British military in and made war on our people, conquered a people, took their resources back to Britain and made Great Britain great. Thus is the stuff of empire building, great civilizations. That's how they're done. If I educate you for centuries that these were great people and you were to look up to Caesars of Rome and the great achievements of Rome and the great achievements of the Greeks and the great achievements of the British Empire, if I can sell you that to your children and their children and their children, they got to be sure that that's how they will build great civilization as well, because that's how it's done. You don't believe me, do you? America was a British colony it too was colonized. When America got its independence, it instituted war. The Indian Wars, the Mexican-American Wars. It instituted conquest. And it instituted slavery. Why not? Ain't that the way it's done? You want to blame the Europeans in this country for enslaving their fellow man, but you teach and have taught your whole history of Western European history. You've taught about war, conquest, and enslavement as a good thing, as a thing that brought civilization to backwards people. That was the way you sold it. That's how you sold it, guys. Listen to me. When the Belgians went into the Congo, when the British went into Africa, South Africa, when the French went into the Congo, when the Germans went into Angola, they told their people, the superstructure, the newspapers, the institutions, the schools, the churches, they told their people that they were going down there to spread to three C's. Look it up, guys. What was the three C's? Christianity, civilization, and commerce. And somebody said, well, what could be wrong with that? You going down to Africa to spread Christianity, civilization, and commerce, the three C's. Go for it. And the communities and funded these forays to conquer these other people. They didn't know that King Leopold was having the hands cut off of black workers because they weren't working fast enough. They didn't know that these workers were in chains. They didn't know that India would never have a middle class because it was raped by Great Britain. They thought we were down there spreading the three C's. They thought the British Army was going down to teach the ignorant Africans about Christianity and civilization and the civilized savages. They were savages. Just like they said about the Native Americans here. Same program, guys. Same program. I want you to be able to see and understand how you got programmed and you never got deprogrammed. So when slavery came to America, it was acceptable. People brought their slaves with them. There were white slaves. Let an Irishman. You know, I did another presentation, guys, called How Soon They Forget the Sting of the Wasp. The Wasp, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. You know, the Irish were Catholic. Protestants didn't like Catholic. The Italians were Catholics. Protestants protested. They were Protestants of the Catholic Church. So they were Protestants. And they didn't like Catholics, they say. And so when the Italian immigrants and the Irish immigrants came to this country, they were treated like animals. That's right, guys. Look it up. There were pubs, restaurant, cafes, bars that had signs outside that says no dogs or Irish allowed. How soon they forget the sting of the wasp. Same with the WAP. That was a name created not by black people. Same as the Italian guys, the Dago. These names were created not by black people. We had our own names. We had the N-word for us. But you got to understand. the economic substructure was slavery. And so the superstructure of America backed that economic substructure because that's how you get rich. That's what history says you do to make money. You get people to help you create value, and you share none of it or very little of it with the people who help you produce it, and you can become extremely wealthy. You can build great civilizations. Greece is an example. Rome is an example. The British Empire is an example. Germany, France, all of them learned this example, and they proceeded to do what the Romans did. They colonized, conquered, and conquered countries. Cambodia, Vietnam, all these Asian countries down there, Laos, all of that used to be something. Look it up, guys. All that used to be something called French Indochina. It's no longer called French Indochina because it's no longer a colony. Its resources and its people do not go to France anymore, but it used to be. Cambodia, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam. French Indochina was what it was all called because it was owned and ran and exploited and used on behalf of the French countryside. They did what the Romans did to them. You know, like they say, that's their education, that this is how great civilizations are built, by exploiting other countries for their resources and taking them. They all was taken by war, conquest, and enslavement. Made France great, made England great, made Spain great. 16-year-old Isabella of Spain sat on a gold throne. Where did that gold come from? It came from the ears, the nose, the mouths, and the fingers of the native people of the Caribbean and Central and South America. That's history, man. And if you live in that history, then it's no wonder when you started America, you did the same things. Of course you did. That's how it's done. You get a bunch of people to exploit. And if slaves ain't good enough, you send over, you stick the Statue of Liberty out there in the New York Harbor, and you ask for poor people to come over here. We welcome you. Ask the Irishman about that welcome. Ask the Chinese man about how welcomed he was. Ask the Italian man how welcomed he was when he got here. They were dirty immigrants. I'm quoting. I'm not making an accusation. I'm quoting. They were referred to as dirty immigrants. And they were treated like dogs. They were worked 12 hours a day. Their children worked in the coal mines and in the factories. Yeah, there were no child labor laws. The first history, 1700s, guys, look it up. The first history of Italians, Irish, and black people who came together and protested against the low wages, the compensation for their labor, was the same time they introduced the word white to America. It became an official term then. So no longer were you an Irishman or an Italian, you became a white man, W-I-T-H. That's when white was invented. That's history, guys. Look it up. So they would not organize together. So they would break up, and the Irish were organized for the Irish. The Italians would build their own organizations, and none of them would support the blacks. And if you could break them all up, you could deal with them differently. This is what the wealthy of this country did to stay in control. And so when the economics of slavery is exploitation of labor, whether it's slavery or whether it's immigrants, then the superstructure has to sell that to you in school, the institutions, the churches. When you went to church, the preacher had to turn to the part in the Bible that said, slave, obey your master. Read the Old Testament, guys. When you went to church, the preacher said, see here, black people were the sons of Ham. They were meant to be hewers of wood and carriers of water and servants of servants. Says it right here in the Bible. You see, it's unnatural, and so you have to sell it to young white kids. And so they got programmed. All white folks couldn't afford slaves. The Irish were treated like shit. And so were the Italians. First of all, they washed them like them because they were Catholic. But more than that, they made their money off of them. They could work these Irishmen. They could work these Chinese people. And they could work them for chump change. They could work them for company strip. In other words, they give them a piece of paper that you can only cash in at the company store owned by the same company you work for. They didn't have to give them money. You don't hear me. Slavery makes money. You get people to help you create value and you share none of that value with them and you can be a Bezos. You can be a millionaire, a billionaire. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's been done historically. So you've been programmed, guys, by history and the superstructural education that you received. When your church has said it was okay, that you could leave a church and lynch a black man that same day. And when you went back to church on Sunday, your pastor didn't say that was wrong or y'all shouldn't do that. They were holding Klan rallies in the church. They were burning crosses, guys, Christian crosses. But this wasn't racism. Oh, no. This wasn't racist, even. This was economics. This is how civilizations are built in Western European societies. It's what they teach us in school of what a great society looks like, what great civilizations came from and how they were built. War, conquest, and enslavement. It's the process. It's what you're trained and educated in. You've been programmed, white and black, in Hispanic. In German and France and everybody. Y'all, if you got an education in a Western European country, you got that education. I went to public school. That's where I learned about Caesar. That's where I learned about Alexander the Great. That's where I learned about the British Empire. And if you learned the same thing, then you got programmed too. And so it just made sense that the founders of this country educated and come from Western Europe, educated in European history, would do the same thing that built Europe here. They made war on the native population. They conquered the native population. And they enslaved the native population. And if they didn't have enough slaves, they sent after some. And if they wasn't African, They went for the poor people of Europe like the Italians. They went for the poor people of Europe like the Irish, who had been slaves already under the British. The N-word in Great Britain was for the Irish. It wasn't an N-word. It ain't funny, guys. If you didn't know anything about the Irish potato famine, it was manufactured. But it killed Irish people. It starved them. They couldn't wait to get out and come to America or somewhere where they could make a decent living. But they lived under the foot of the British because the British Empire needed slaves. How do you make money, guys? Did you learn this lesson yet? You make money by having people help you create value. And once created, you share none of it or very little with those who help you build it. And you get rich and you build great civilizations. America was built that way. And then it's not because they thought it up here in America. They didn't think it up in Mexico or Central or South America. It came to them the same way it came to the conquered people of Europe. It came to the people of this country with a history and a program of war, conquest, and enslavement. And that's what happened here. So racism was necessary to maintain an economic substructure that could make you rich, called slavery. And don't get me wrong. If I gave an Irishman a piece of company strip to go to the company store and buy some shoes or some food to eat, I'm not helping him come up. I'm helping him make it back to work the next day. That's all. I told you, I did a whole nother presentation on capitalism. The father of capitalism, Adam Smith, go get the book Wealth of Nations, guys. Look it up. Wealth of Nations. The father of capitalism, Adam Smith, said you never pay more for labor than you would if you'd pay for a machine, upkeep, and maintenance. That's it. And slaves had slave quarters. I'm telling you that America was just repeating an old process for building great civilizations on that shiny sentinel on the hill they wanted to build here. They used the exact same process. They brought their slaves with them, some of them. It was normalized in this country. Now, to wrap this up, guys, if you got programmed into believing this is how it's done, don't hate the player, hate the game, then the game is war, conquest, and enslavement. And it's played out differently today. Today, the new chains are debt. Debt is another way of saying, I'm never going to pay you the value that you helped me create because that's how I get rich. But what I will do, I'll let you close the gap between what I pay you and what you need to survive with debt. You can borrow some money. You can get a payday loan. You can borrow some money. You can get a house. You can borrow some money. I'm never going to pay you what it's worth. The federal minimum wage was frozen. Prices kept going up. You got poor without anybody taking a dollar out your pocket. when the minimum wage didn't come until the 1930s, guys. Up until then, they could pay you what they wanted to. And if you were a dirty immigrant or a black man or woman, you got little to nothing of what you helped to build. But that's the way we were all educated. Something for nothing is how it works. And you use your military to keep it that way. And you use all of your superstructure to keep it that way. You have your churches back up, your religion back up the economic substructure. You have your schools back. I told you, my university taught it the fact on career day that they went around to all the corporations and asked them, what do they need in tomorrow's worker? And they took that information and put it into our curricula. And they told parents, we've talked to all these corporations, so your kid is going to be ready for the world of work. That is to say, we prepared your kid to go find somebody to work for. That's it. Not to run shit. It ain't their fault. They all been programmed. White, black, Asian, Italian, Irish, you name it. The word exploitation comes to mind as a methodology in this country. And race can be used to promote that. Guys, you've been programmed. But you never got deprogrammed. And so you're running around talking about race when you don't know that it was created so that somebody could get rich off of the exploitation of another group of people. And some of y'all didn't even share in that bounty. Even though you were the right color, you poor. I'm going to give you a break. When I come back, I'm going to be ready to open my lines because I want to hear what you have to say. Let me give you a little music. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, we've been discussing the critical race theory. I took you down through there because I want you to understand that racism isn't new, and racism is a tool that worked really well to make quite a few people in this country very rich. And the government played along with it, and the institutions played along with it, because there was money in it. It had nothing to do with ideology. It had nothing to do with biology. It had nothing to do with religion. It had everything to do with money. Listen to me. A restaurant owner who has white customers all his visiting his business, but these white customers have been taught since they were kids that black people grow tails at night. And if somebody white out there has never heard that, I got news for you. We ain't supposed to teach critical race theory today because it's divided people for years, hundreds of them. You got told that somehow or another, you were more civilized or something than the people that we are exploiting over here for money. And if I can get you to believe that, you'll help me exploit them for money. The Irish were terrible to blacks, even though the WASP hated the Irish. They didn't mind hiring them to oversee the blacks. Some of the first slave catchers were Irish. That's where you got the paddy wagon from. They used to call the Irish paddies. St. Patrick's Day, paddies. And so the police, you know, there's an old Irish joke. I didn't make it up. Why come there's no snakes in Ireland? They came to America and became police officers. That's an old Irish joke. I learned from the Irish and the Italian. Like, I knew a guy who was both. His mother was Irish and his father was Italian. And if he spoke Italian language in his home, his daddy would slap him in the mouth and tell him, boy, we don't talk Italian here. We're in America now. Speak American. And so he watched his culture disappear. We're not Catholic anymore. We're going to go to a Protestant church. Because, see, when you're conquered, baby, you can only come up in a conquered world by speaking the conqueror's tongue and accepting the conqueror's religion and culture. If you don't, you're either considered too ignorant to learn the conqueror's language and culture, or you're considered rebellious. And that can be dangerous. You certainly won't get hired. And so if you want to come up under a conqueror, you learn to speak Greek or Roman or British or English or, yeah, whatever the conqueror's language is. If you want to come up, you go to the conqueror's religion. So I don't care if you're Aztec or Mayan. When the Spanish rolled through, you become a Catholic. Go to Mexico and Central America right now, and you find Catholics all over the place. These people didn't know what a Catholic was before they were conquered. Well, the same thing happened here, man. Black people took up the Holy Bible. They spoke English as well as a white man to come up. Black people put lye in their hair so it'd be straight like white hair. Black people tried to lighten their skin so it'd be white like white people's skin. Why? Because they thought that was better? I mean, because they thought that was healthy? They thought that was the right thing to do? Yeah. If you want to come up, if you wore an afro, you were rebellious. That's right. If you wore an afro, if you spoke Ebonics, you were either ignorant or rebellious. You didn't get that job until you cut your hair. But if you went in there with your hair straightened with a hot straighten comb and some grease, if you or a process with your hair fried, dyed, and laid to the side like a white man's hair, if you were light-skinned, a door would open up for you. And if you were a Christian, a good Christian, a good Protestant Christian, the doors would open up for you. And everybody wanted the doors to open. You got programmed, man. We all got programmed, whites and blacks. I had to go to a white school before I found out that white kids were being taught critical race theory at home. They told me, he said, my folks told me that black people grew tails at night. You got to tell the children, you got to educate the children or they won't continue the process. And you're going to lose money because you're making money off exploiting these people. And so your superstructure has to sell separate but equal. We all got programmed, baby. And racism helped the program roll right along. Now, when the program changed from chattel slavery and racial division slavery into debt slavery, some people got left behind who never got deprogrammed. The corporations and the wealthy forgot to stop and tell them, hey, wait, all that was bullshit. We told y'all black people were this, that, and another. We told y'all that Irish people were this, that, and another. We told y'all that the Irish were dirty and the Italians were dirty and the Chinese were dirty and the Orientals and the Celestials or whatever. And we told y'all all that stuff. We made all this shit up so we could exploit these people for money. That's how we get rich. There's a dead Chinaman for every wooden tie in the railroads that cross this country. Did you know that? So I had to tell you that there was something wrong with the Chinese, or you would have asked me, why come you don't pay these people the same thing you pay white people? And so you would have asked me that question. I had to convince you that there was something wrong with these people, that we're doing them a favor by working the shit out of them and paying them chump change. I had to sell that to you. Now, them days are over, but some of y'all still believe it because you never got deprogrammed, white folks. You never got deprogrammed, black people. I heard a black woman in this century, a few years ago, as a matter of fact, running for office, who said she was glad that slavery, she was brought here as a slave, her folks was brought here as a slaver, because if they hadn't, we would have never learned about Jesus Christ. Ain't that something? You see, it ain't your fault. You went to the same schools. You got the same Western European education I got. And it told you, this is how it's done. War, conquest, and enslavement. And if you have to single out a group of people to exploit, somebody gonna ask you why. Some little kid who grew up playing with a white kid who grows up playing with a black kid, somebody's got to stop and tell that white boy one day, that white kid, you can't play with him no more. Somebody got to tell him because it ain't natural. He ain't going to immediately figure, okay, now I can't play with this black kid no more. He has to have grown-ups, schools, churches, people he respect, a community to tell him to stop that. Now he can't come over for dinner. Well, I can go over to the black kid's house. Yeah, but he can't come over here. and he got to call you Mr. now. You're a teenager now. He can't call you by your first name no more. You can call him by his first name because he's black. But he has to call you Mr. now. And both of y'all played together as kids. But now you different from him, and that has to be taught to you. You got program, baby. You got program. White people who, black people who are straightening their hair to get the latest white hairdo, your Sammy Davis Jr. slick head hair do, right? And you had to learn to talk white, dress white, and accept the white culture. And if you could lighten up your skin, if you can get some bleach and glow and lighten up your skin, you might even be accepted to work for some white folks. But if you walked in black with a fro, with an afro, you were ignorant or rebellious. And you didn't get the job. With African jewelry on or some shit like that, you didn't get the job. They were afraid of you. But if you walked in there with straight hair, baby, and light skin, and you were a good Christian, and you had a Bible under your arm, you got the job. Everybody saw that. So people would mimic that so they could get the job. It's economics, guys. If you're a restaurant that's serving white people, and the black person comes along with some money, you'd like to get that money. But you know that if that black man coming in sit down, white people are going to get up and walk out. And so you put a sign outside so you don't lose your white customers. You put a sign outside that says white only. You might not be prejudiced against black people, but you don't want to lose business. This happens right here in my city. In my city, there's an Italian. How quickly they forget the sting of the wasp. There was an Italian restaurant that catered to whites, and black people couldn't go in there and sit down and have a pizza. Only whites could come in and sit down and have a pizza. Now, black people were working, so they had money, and they liked pizza, so the Italians had to figure out, how do I get this black money without running away my white customers? Because I got a sign outside that says white only. And my white customers like that, so they keep coming. So you know what they did in my town? The pizzas knocked a hole in the wall in the back and put a window back there. And you could order your pizza as you were black and go around to that window and get your pizza delivered, handed to you at the pickup window. Because economically, nobody wanted to turn down money from both blacks and whites. The only reason you put white only out there as a store owner is because you didn't want to run away your white customers. So you figured a slick way to get that money. You went around the back and knocked a hole in the wall so that blacks could order and come around there, and you got that black money. Because you wanted money from both of them. And if you could have integration where everybody sit down there together, you would let everybody in. But you knew that your white customer would get up and walk out if you let the blacks in, so you put white on the outside. Even though you're not prejudiced, it's economic, baby. It's about that money. Racism is about that money. And you got sold and told all kinds of reasons for racism that didn't have shit to do with economics, but that's what it was all about. And when the economic system changed to debt slavery, some of y'all got left behind, I guess. Some of y'all still believe black people grow tails at night. Some of y'all still believe white is right. Those were slogans. That's what shit that was sold to you back in the day when that made money. It don't make money today. And so now they have congressional hearings on what they can do about domestic terrorism. They're talking about you. When they talk about racism today, they're talking about you. When they talk about introducing critical race theory, they're educating you and everybody else that you got programmed. that them days are over and some of y'all got left behind. Some of y'all still got this black-white thing because you benefited from it. Come on. Even if you didn't like it, you benefited from it. Even if you didn't believe it, you benefited from it. Right? John Brown and his boys were white. And they died fighting against slavery. Specifically against slavery. Freeing slaves. John Brown, look it up. White guy. Not black. A lot of people know this was bullshit. A lot of people know it was all economics. Some people fell for the okey-doke and said it's okay. Maybe because they were benefiting from it. Them days are over, guys. Time for all y'all to wake up. The people who make money in this country, the Bezos, the Elon Musk, the wealthy in this country, the billionaires in this country has gone long past using race to make money. Now they use debt. And so there's a new game in town. But we got programmed, guys. And we never got deprogrammed. Through war, conquest, and a process known, an economic process known as slavery. I still got a little time left, guys. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. And I'm opening up my chat. I went a little bit into y'all's call-in time. I'm sorry, but I wanted to cover that for you because I need you to understand the historical nature of this whole racism. It's a tool. It was a tool that made good money for a good many people, gave advantages to a great number of people, whether they agreed with it theoretically or not. Intellectually or not, they benefited from it. And so they allowed for it. Your government allowed for it to exist because they made money. George Washington had slaves. Right? And so now the new slavery is dead. They don't need to deal with race. Need to convince you to oppress a black person because they want to make money off of you too. So that's no longer the case. But some of y'all still got caught, black and white, Chinese, Italian, all y'all got programmed. And nobody came back to tell you all that was bullshit. We did all that just to exploit you people. There is no kikes. There is no wops. There is no spicks. There is no hunkies. We did all that to make money off of you. Now we got you in debt. We don't need appetites anymore. We don't need slavery anymore. We don't need racism anymore. We got you owing to the day you die. That's what we need. That's how we make our money now. And some of y'all ain't caught up. That's all. That's all, guys. Some of y'all just didn't realize that this game has changed. And that slavery, racism ain't gonna make you rich no more. It used to be able to make you money. It used to be able to get your house cleaned up for chump change. Your yard cut for chump change. It used to be great when you could exploit these people and tell your children why so that they could learn to do the same. But now you can't, and it hurts. It is a loss. But you got to know it was a game. Game's over. My lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. My chat room's open. Questions, comments, suggestions, hysterical outbursts, put them in the chat. I'm monitoring the chat and I'm there with it. Let me give you a little music this part of the show, your time to shine, I call it. It's the call-in section, guys. Let me give you a little music. Think about that. Call it. Revolutionary Life. My name is Gary. I'm your host. Tonight we've been talking about critical race theory. For centuries, slavery was okay. It was the way it was done. All the way back to the Greeks. So when it came to this country, it didn't come as something brand new. to come here, what the Europeans have been raised on and fed all their lives. And it's what I was raised on and fed in public school. I learned to call Alexander the Great, great, because he conquered the known world. I was raised to believe Caesar was great because Rome conquered the known world until I found out what conquering looks like. Spain was great because it conquered Central and South America. Till I learned what conquering actually looks like. And slavery looks like. From the ass end of slavery, from the other side, I learned about slavery and what it looked like. And then I learned the education and the programming that went on in the superstructure and the institutions of a slave society. And I learned that Socrates and Plato promoted slavery. There were some people called the Stoics. Read about them. They didn't in Greece, but they didn't get the fanfare that Plato and Socrates get. I'm sure there might have been people in Rome who was against slavery. I don't know. They benefited from it. So they didn't fight against it. It became the norm to colonize other countries. That's why we had the British Empire. That's how France became a great civilization. And Germany, conquer, war, conquest, and enslavement. It was a process that's historic among Western European societies, civilizations. It's not uncommon that it came to this part of the world also. My public education told me that these people were great too, Caesar, Alexander. So I learned that these people were great also, just like white folks learned that they were great. You got programmed, but you never got deprogrammed. When the wealthy of this country moved on from slavery, chattel slavery, and the exploitation by racial exploitation, which they sold you, then some of y'all got left behind. Because the wealthy of this country didn't stop and say, all that stuff we told y'all about black people were bullshit. All that shit we talked about Irish people were bullshit. Everything we said about Italian dirty immigrants were bullshit. We told you that so we could, and you would help us. And we'd make you the middle class so you wouldn't be one of them. And you would help us keep these people down so we can make this money. Then when we enter debt slavery, the wealthy said we can make money off of getting all of them in debt. Some of y'all got left behind in the old slavery paradigm. If you hear people who are racist, white supremacists, that kind of thing, talk about black people, it sounds like something out of the 16th, 17th, 1800s. Because that's what it was. It didn't more than just economically. It was sold to you in your schools. It was sold to you in your educational institutions. It was sold to you in your religious institutions. The Spanish brought a Jesuit priest with them to conquer it. You know what conquering looked like now, right? Every conquistador had a Catholic priest, a Jesuit priest, with them. So the church played along with this game. There's missions all up and down California, Catholic missions. There's probably a mission street all the way up and down California. Those missions were built by Mexicans, slaves. When the game changed, the propaganda changed, but some of y'all haven't caught up yet. You're still on the racial kick, even though it don't make you money anymore. You're seeing black people get hired in jobs that used to be exclusively for white people. You're working for black people now, and you're white. The game has changed. Some of y'all got left behind mentally. It ain't your fault. At one time, it worked. But money rules, baby. And so when the money thing changed, so did the propaganda. Now we all must live together. Now we're colorblind. Now there's laws against discrimination, people because of their race, creed, color, or kind. There used to not be laws like that. There used to be laws against black people marrying white people, misogyny laws. All that shit's gone because you can't make money like that anymore. The game has changed. Some of y'all got left behind. Black and white got left behind. You're still living off of the old propaganda. While the wealthy has moved on. They're billionaires now off the new slavery, the debt slavery. And they're working everybody this time. Better catch up. You've been listening to Revolutionary Life, host guys. And we here, right here on Blog Talk Radio, every weekday night. You could spend a centuries educating white kids that black people grow tails at night. But you can't spend 5 minutes on critical race theory to explain to white kids and black that that was bullshit. It had a purpose because it made some people filthy rich. The railroad barons in this country won't admit to you that they had a joke. When you were asked, how do you build a railroad through a mountain? The Union Pacific and the great railroad barons would tell the joke, you give us Chinaman a stick of dynamite, and you send him in that hole in the mountain. You tell him to put that dynamite down at the bottom back of that hole and come on out. And they say, well, what if you don't make it out? Well, the most you lose is a Chinaman. There's a dead Chinese man, they used to say, for every wooden tie in the railroads that cross this country. You don't want to tell your children you exploited these people to make your money. You don't want to tell those people you killed Indian, Native Americans. We got a route in my state called the Trail of Tears. It's called that because most of the land in Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee and Arkansas that became plantations. Cotton and other plantations used to be Native American land. The Native Americans were told to get up and move, not just by landowners, but the government itself. And they walked. Many of them didn't make it across the Mississippi River and gave up their land to white people. You don't want to tell your children you did that unless you can explain to them why. And so the propaganda at the time was that they were just savages. That they were killing white people and kidnapping white women. And so they had to go. They didn't tell you we just wanted their land. They didn't tell you the reason we got these black people over here so they can help us pick this cotton and become millionaires. And the reason they're still in rags after they done helped us made millions is because They're inferior people. They're just monkeys, little monkeys. If we didn't bring them to America and teach them about Jesus Christ, they'd still be cooking each other in pots and swinging from trees with bones in their nose. We had to tell you that to get you to say it's okay to do what we need to do to black people. Them days are gone, guys, but the program stuck, it seems, with some whites, some blacks, with the Italians, with the Irish. How quickly they forget the sting of the wasp. Once they were allowed to be white, once they were allowed to help them oppress the black population, they had to learn this lesson also. You can't marry a black woman. That's misogyny, separation of the races. You could teach that for centuries, but you can't spend 5 minutes teaching critical race theory. That's racist. I want to thank everybody for listening in, who listened in tonight. And tonight we just went over some critical race theory, critical critique of racism. And we all got programmed. We just never got deprogrammed. They didn't tell us it was bullshit. They didn't tell us the churches and the educational institutions were in league to make white people and black people believe that it was okay to exploit one group of people over another. I told you the British Empire told its people that it was going to Africa to spread the three C's, civilization, Christianity, and commerce. And the British population funded colonialization. And they benefited from it, even if once they figured out it was bullshit. I'll be back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9. And we'll be dealing with issues from a revolutionary point of view. That's how we do it here. And tonight we deal with racism. I hope you understand that nobody benefits anymore from racism but the wealthy. Nobody benefited then from racism, primarily, but the wealthy. Those who allowed to benefit, you whites, who allowed to benefit from being chosen first, for having an ice-cold water fountain and having black people drink out the faucet, sticking out the wall in the back. For those of y'all who benefited from that, maybe you just looked the other way and you knew better. Well, now you being exploited, and all of us, for our labor, mental and physical. The game has changed. The churches teach a different thing now. The schools teach a different thing now. There's laws against racism now. Everybody can marry anybody now. Men can marry men. Women can marry women. Everything's changed, guys. You just got left behind. White. Black, all y'all, much of y'all got left behind. You got to catch up. Thank you for listening in. I want to wish everybody a nice good night. And I'll be seeing you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I'm going to take you on out of here with a little music. Thank you again. Good night.